And it's very short scripture. And it simply says this: and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. I believe the biblical account of creation. I don't believe we're accidents. I don't believe we just happen chance upon history. I don't believe any of that. I believe that God Almighty made us in His own image and after His own likeness. And when He made us, He made man. Now, I think that when God first, the first account we have in Genesis, and actually we have two accounts there, one short and says God did it, the next one's longer and tells us more or less how or the sequence that God did it in. When we look at this morning and we recognize that God brought all the animals, all the creatures of the world before Adam, and Adam named them all. That was a big job, no doubt. And after he named all the animals and all the creatures that came before him, Adam was standing there alone. There had been animals of all kind, and they always came with a male and a female. They always came with the opportunity to be together and to grow together and all of that. But there was none found for Adam. He was alone. And the Bible said it's not good for man to be alone. So God created from Adam's side. You say you really believe that? Yep. I believe it. Just like the Bible said it, God created from Adam's side a creature that he called woman. And he called her woman, it's like lion and lioness. It's man and manus. Actually, the word woman is a contraction of two English words, and it would say God made a womb man, or a man with a womb. Now, if you're of the persuasion that just accidentally, in somewhere in history, eons back, if you're of the opinion that just accidentally everything blew up and exploded and fell back together, and when it did, there was a man and a woman, a womb, ready to receive a child and to grow a child. If you think all that's an accident, my friend, you sure got a lot of faith in science. You sure got a lot of faith in accidents, too, by the way. But the truth is that God made us in His image. And what God made, He made the woman and brought her to Adam. And I think the first sex education class that ever happened, happened right then and there. And God explained to Adam and Eve how life was and how life would be. So He named his wife. Now, we already know he's a man. We already know she's a woman. That's more than Supreme Court people in the United States know, by the way. We know that he's a man. We know that she's a woman. But he gave her a name and named her Eve. If he translated that to English, he would have named her Life. The word Eve simply means life. Now, you got to think about this. God is in the process of throwing Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. God is in the process of bringing judgment on Adam and Eve for their sins. And what was the penalty for sin? Death. So when they look at each other, Adam and Eve don't know but what God is just going to strike them out right then and right there. Because He has promised them, if they disobey Him, they're going to die. In fact, as God said, you will surely die. Well, they're terrified. They have seen Him. They've never seen death until right now. And they see Him, God, that is, grab an animal, kill it, strip from it blood flowing every which way, strip its hide from him, and make clothes out of it for them to wear. By the way, He didn't make bikinis. He made tunics. He made coats. He didn't leave people to their vain imaginations. So what happens is these two folks, and I don't know if they're young folks I don't know how old they were, what stage of life God made them in, but he made them. And Adam looks at his wife and suddenly he has hope, because they have been promised that if they sin, they will surely die. So he's not so sure, but what the end of the line is right then and right there for the human beings. But when God tells him about Eve, when God makes Eve and creates Eve, and he looks at her, he knows this is not going to be the end of the human race. There is going to be life. And he says, I'm going to call you life. Well, he calls her Eve. That means life. So he knows that through Eve, life is going to be perpetuated on this earth. That the human race is not going to die out and go away. That the human beings will live and survive throughout the eternities. He don't know what all is going to happen to do it. But he knows it has something to do with killing that animal. He knows it has something to do with shedding blood. He knows it has something to do with repenting and coming to God. And he looks at Eve and he realizes that the next generation will be there because of woman. I think sometimes, ladies, that you all have gotten a bad rap through the eternities and years. I think maybe that men have overpowered in some ways woman's position in so many societies, and including our own sometimes. I think, my brothers and sisters, that if we can understand it, in the beginning we were side by side. The order of things that came to be came because of sin. But the order of things that are can be set aside because of the death of the sacrifice. That little animal that God killed, whatever it was, is our propitiation. Don't you like those big words from the Bible? Is our substitute. God accepts that animal as a substitute for our blood. But ultimately, we have to have blood shed that not only will stave off God's anger today, but we have to have bloodshed that will cause us to have life and have it abundantly forever. That came through Jesus Christ. Now, if you notice today's message, it may sound strange, but let me fill you in a few things along the way. I called it the second Sunday in May. Well, every month has a second Sunday in it. But in this congregation, there was a special significance for the second Sunday of every month. I'll get to that in a minute. What I want to tell you is that God, in his mercy and grace, has done so much for us. He's been so good to us. And I look at Mother Eve. She's the first woman, the first mother in all of the earth. Was never a mother before. I feel sorry for her. You say, why? You could probably, ladies, if you were getting along and going to have a baby, you could go to your mother. You could lean on a grandmother. You could go to another woman in a community, an older lady. You could talk to them. You could learn from them. Eve had no one to go to. And even later, all she had was men. For a good while, it would only been Adam and Cain and Abel and Seth. It would have been some time before there was enough people for her to have company. I always felt sorry for my grandmother in Ohio, my dad's mom. They lived out on a farm, flat as this floor right here. Out in the middle of the farm, there's a barn and a chicken house and a dwelling house and all that kind of thing that goes with the farm. And grandma and her husband and five boys. Don't you know that was a lonely place for a woman sometimes out in the middle of those fields? I think sometimes we don't realize what our mothers and grandmothers have gone through with. But life came because of that. And I look at Eve and she had to go through that. I look at Mrs. Noah. We don't know her name. We don't know anything about Noah's wife. But let me tell you something. 20 years he was building the ark. She was there every day. She was there cooking and cleaning and washing and scrubbing and everything every day. And if you look at Mrs. Noah all that time, and if you think they were only in that ark for 40 days and 40 nights, you're missing the point. It only rained 40 days and 40 nights, but they were shut up in that ark for a year. Wouldn't you like to be shut up in the ark with three daughters-in-law, three sons, one husband, and a zoo full of animals, every kind in the world, and no outside anything for a year? All of that, we talk about Noah, what Noah went through. Think about Mrs. Noah. She went through all of that with him. She was there with him. We talk about Abraham being the father of the faithful, and so he is, and so the Bible says so. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you, Abraham did not have Isaac by himself. Abraham did not, you say, well, God was going to make a nation out of, nations out of him that would bless the whole world. That's true, but not by himself. Brothers and sisters, Sarah had to be there for all of those trips. And you say, well, she didn't. Let me tell you, if I went out and told somebody that Fern was my sister and not my wife, I don't think that'd go over too good, do you? I don't think that would be such a great thing to happen. Well, thing of it was, twice, Abraham, because he was a scary cat, twice Abraham lied, said, oh, she's just my sister. She's just my sister. It almost took her to be the king of Egypt's wife because of that. If God hadn't have interfered, it would have. So when you look at it, there's Abraham. He's doing these wonderful exploits. He's fighting battles. He's offering up sacrifices. He's just doing these wonderful things and getting filthy rich. But his wife had to be there to go through every bit of that with him. And she so wanted a baby. She so wanted to be a mother. And it took years. Oh, I don't mean 2 or 3 years. I mean it took 50 or 60 years for her to get around to being able to have that baby. She was there all the time. I think about Hannah. There could have been no one more desirous or more worthy of receiving the blessing of a child than Hannah. And poor Hannah, her husband, he was in her corner. He loved her. He took care of her, everything. But there was nothing. Years and years till she was in the house of God praying and weeping and crying to God for a child. And when God gave him the child, she did what we just did this morning. She gave that child back to the Lord. She dedicated that child to the Lord, and when he was old enough, she actually took him to the tabernacle and left him with the priest, and he became the great prophet of Israel because his mother had dedicated him to the Lord. You have to remember these women, and I have to tell you, sometimes we Protestants maybe neglect the Virgin Mary just a little bit. Maybe we don't talk about her because we don't want to say we're Catholics or we don't want to say we're leaning that way. Folks, we're not. I don't know that you can say enough good things for the lady that carried our Lord in her womb. I don't know that you can say enough good things about her because she was worthy and because God counted her worthy to carry that baby that became the Messiah. My brothers and sisters, when you look at Mary, oh yes, that's wonderful. Gabriel comes down and appears to her. You say, oh yeah, I want to see an angel. You might not like what the angel has to say. When the angel come, he told her she's going to have a baby. She said, I don't see how that can be. I don't see how that can be because I haven't been with a man. There's no way that can be. But the Holy Ghost came. She saw all of that and all those things. And yet, she also stood at the foot of the cross. You know, everybody says, oh, Jesus was neglected. There wasn't anybody there. Yes, there was. The women were there. The women were there. And the women that believed in him and followed him were there. And among those women was Mary, the mother of our Lord. Don't you know, whatever hell is, whatever you believe hell is. It could be no worse than standing at the foot of the cross and watching them beat him and treat him the way he did and all of that. And she is standing there grieving as only a mother could grieve. You have to believe, my friends, you have to believe that Mary went through some awful agony, some awful trial and temptation. And I think about what mothers go through with children. Oh, I'm not just talking about with the croup and the dirty diapers and all that kind of thing. I'm talking about the children that get grown, the children that grow up and get in trouble and mischief and sin and all of those things. And mothers have to carry that. Mothers have to carry that knowledge and that burden. And you say, well, you raise them up and you send them out and that's it. And you can't do anything about it. If you can pass your children off that easy, my friend, you might need to come up here and pray just a little bit. Because I couldn't do that, could you? And a mother can't. You remember that old song they used to play on the radio when I was a kid? Daddy always listened to that hillbilly station in Cincinnati every evening. And they'd be playing those country hymns. And they used to play A Mother's Love was the name of the song. And it was about a mother whose son was in prison. And she came to him, and she did not bring him parole or pardon, but she brought him her greatest gift, which is a mother's love. Now, brothers and sisters, that having a church full of mothers, my friend, makes a church what it ought to be. You say, well, you named this sermon today, second Sunday in May. Well, in this congregation, let me tell you why that's true. Used to be second Sunday in May, second Sunday in any month, was a special and wonderful time. Our pastor was an evangelist, so she, in this particularly summertime, had an appointment at this church once a month on Sunday, had an appointment in Pulaski on the first Sunday of every month, here at Clendenin on the second Sunday of every month, at Lash Meet, Little Creek, on the third Sunday of every month, and at Lash Meet on the fourth Sunday of every month. And oh yes, and then we had Logan on the fifth Sunday, and we had all these other places. It was a wonderful time. Everybody came together. You prepared for the service on Sunday, and you say, how did we do that? Well, I know what happened at our house. We had a spring house out at the creek. Grandma and Aunt June and Mommy would be cooking potato salad and banana pudding. They'd be frying chicken. They'd have everything going. Take it out and put it in the spring house and have it cold. And you say, every month, every second Sunday, when the people came, and they came, we had people who came regularly every second Sunday from Williamson, from Logan, from all over southern West Virginia. And they came, and when church was over, they went home to eat with somebody in the church. And when we went to their churches, that's the way it happened when we got there. It was a wonderful time to be part of, and a wonderful thing to be part of. And we rejoiced in it. We just had a great big time with it. And everybody came together, and you know what happens. You bring all the young people from Logan, all the young people from Williamson, all the young people from Pulaski and Clendenin, and you bring them in Sunday after Sunday together. First thing you know, you got all the churches married to each other. Hallelujah. That was a good thing. The people loved each other, the people cared, and they went home with each other. Well, 61 years ago, on the second Sunday of May, 1961, I was sitting on the back seat of the church. It was one of those Sundays. The sky was blue. The sun was shining. And I was dressed as much as I could to the nines. As much as I could afford. I didn't have any jewelry, so I borrowed Mother's class ring. Lucille from Naris High School. I borrowed Mother's class ring and wore it. Wore a necktie and a suit. And sat on the very back seat next to the door so I could escape if I need to. But there was something going on. The Lord had been dealing with my heart. I was 14 years old. And the Lord had been dealing with my heart, and the Lord had been touching my soul. And I was reading the book of Revelation. I was reading the book of Daniel. I was reading the 24th chapter of Matthew, 21st chapter of Luke. I was reading in Zechariah. And I was convinced that this world was going to end, and if it did, I wouldn't be ready. So I was trying my best to bring myself to come to the altar, bring myself to repent, bring myself to salvation. And you know what? My conviction of the grace of God is so great. That wasn't a perfect church. Now, I didn't know that. It was just country people getting together and having church. They sang, they shouted, they had a good time, they fellowshiped together. It was wonderful. It was great. I didn't know there was any problems in that church or anywhere else, to tell you the truth. I thought everything anybody did for God was genuine. I didn't know that it could be any other way. But I can tell you, sitting on the back seat of that church that day, a lady walked down the aisle with the Holy Spirit on her, and she pointed her finger at me and reached out and got my hand and said, "You're going to need God." And my heart was smitten. She didn't pull me out. She didn't make any to-do, but I got up. And when she went back up the aisle, I followed her. And I knelt at the altar, and I asked God to save my soul. And you know what? He did. That's my greatest conviction 61 years ago this day. God came into my heart when I surrendered to Him. And He saved my soul. And I can say with the Happy Goodman family, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I wouldn't. Her sister Nellie Mooney used to say, every step's been worthwhile. Brothers and sisters, I'm thankful. And bless Granny Effie's heart. I was up at the altar, and for some reason, I wasn't a crybaby as a kid. I thought it was bad for men to cry. So I didn't cry. But that day I cried. When I went up the aisle, God broke my heart. And I cried. And I was down at the altar weeping and praying and repenting of my sins. And Granny Effie come along and patted me on the shoulder and leaned down and whispered in my ear, or hollered in my ear, to tell you the truth. And she said, "Pray on through now, honey, and be my little holy roller preacher boy." Which was the whole reason I hadn't come to God anyway, because I didn't want to preach. And I've been preaching for 60 years, so hallelujah. Now, I hope this hasn't bored you, but I wanted you to just know my testimony. And I just wanted you to know that on this day, which was Mother's Day, and that was always a special day down there, and I thank God for the mothers in my life. I thank God for my own mother, for my grandmother, because they, like Timothy's grandparents, the mother and the grandmother, had taught him the gospel. And I'm thankful that the women in my family were blessed to be praying women. I'm thankful, I said one time, Sandra, that I have 7 uncles on that side of the family, by the way. And I said, I owe my uncles a debt for preparing me so many good aunts to take care of me. I'm thankful for the women in my life. Thankful for my mother, my grandmother. Thankful for Granny Effie, who was our mother in Christ. Thankful for my wife, who has been a good mother to my children. And I'm thankful for my daughters, who are all mothers and Christians. And by the way, thankful that somewhere in Naris, right now I think she's still in Naris, she hadn't gone to the hospital, there's a great grandbaby on the way. And I'm thankful for all that. I'm an only child, but how blessed I am. And I'm just thankful that I'm a Christian. And if the Lord comes today, hallelujah. if the Lord calls me home today, hallelujah. But you know what? I'm a winner either way. And I'm thankful today for all the mothers and all the people who have made life so great. When you put your foot out on the path of motherhood, girls, it's a tough road sometimes. It's a hard road sometimes, but it's a worthy road. And my friends, you girls and you ladies, hold in your hand the future of this country. If we could get every mother to stand tall and erect for the right things, we could change this whole nation in one election. You know that? We sure could. Now, I'm not going to do politics, but I'm going to tell you today, enjoy this day. Second Sunday in May will always be special to me, because that's the day I surrendered to Him and the day that He took over my life. And I can tell you, like Minnie Pearl, I'm so proud to be here. Amen. Father God, we come into Your presence today with thankful hearts. We're thankful for Your grace and for Your love. Father, we're thankful that unworthy as we are, Your Spirit has dealt with us. Thank You that You have saved us and redeemed us. And I pray as we leave here today and we go our ways, that the Spirit of the living God will go with us, that You will guide us and direct us and show us how You would have us to move. Forgive us of our missteps and help us, God, to walk humbly before the Lord. Bless this church and bless all of our sister churches and touch them and bless them with Your grace. Father, we ask these favors and blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.